ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Economics.
Taking a look at business and finance this week is the ABC's Chief Business Reporter, Ian Verinder. Ian, good evening to you. Welcome back.
Good to be here, Phil.
Someone said to me the other day, how does KPMG survive? I mean, why don't they just disappear after this? Because, you know, they're in a total world of horror after their, well, how would you describe it, performance at the Senate Estimates Committee with Senator Deborah O'Neill. So, you know, there's history here, isn't there? Because, I mean, PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC, had similar problems. They kind of sold half their business, didn't they?
Well, PwC, like most big accounting firms, had the audit division, and they had a division with consultants. And it was the consulting division that brought them unstuck.
You better explain for those who don't understand what we're talking about, what KPMG is.
Well, okay, KPMG is one of the big four accounting firms, and it provides a lot of consulting work to governments, both state and federal here. Mm. And what's happened in the past few months is that Deborah O'Neill, Labor Senator, back in March, was it, stood up in Parliament and essentially said, I've got a whistleblower's testimony here, I'm going to read it out in court, and basically the audit partners, senior audit partners of KPMG, whilst going through the audit for Lendlease, a big property company, accessed and did so without permission, accessed confidential information from board papers and used that information to get business elsewhere, you know, through other audits with other companies, one of which was Westpac and the other one was Dexus. And the thing has just basically gone on from there. And look, the KPMG partners just keep digging bigger and bigger holes, and it's getting to the point where you think, can they dig themselves out of this? And it doesn't seem so.
Now, it's a similar thing to PwC. I mean, PwC were accused of giving the government tax advice on creating new tax regimes and then using that to advise other companies on how to get around it.
That's right.
Because they knew all the loopholes.
And they were using confidential information from Treasury. So top secret information, government information they were using to profit from. So it was really quite extraordinary.
And KPMG here are accused of stealing confidential information, essentially.
Yeah. So both of them, same thing, stealing confidential information. Mm. But as you say, PwC managed to survive by hiving off that consultant division. They sold it for a dollar.
Who to? I don't know. Yeah. Somebody.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Who've changed the names and the nameplates on the door and then opened for business again.
But they're not associated with PwC. KPMG, on the other hand, this is the audit division that's doing this. And you can't really have an accounting company without an audit division because that's their primary function.
That is what they do.
And, you know, so this week we've seen the resignation of the chairman, Martin Shepherd. We've seen the resignation of a senior partner who was involved in the audits, Eileen Hoggett. Mm. We've seen the resignation of the chief executive some weeks ago now, Andrew Yates. Mm. And so the casualty list is growing. But I have to tell you that the information they gave to the Senate inquiry last week was really beyond belief, because firstly they said that they engaged two law firms to go through the internal investigation they had. Mm. The law firms then said they hadn't done any investigations themselves, but they'd simply provided some advice. And by doing that, they managed to then say, well, we can't give you any of the documents you're after, senators, because it's confidential. It's client confidentiality. Now, this is a company, a firm, facing accusations of breaching confidentiality, saying, we can't give you the information you require because it's confidential. So it was really quite extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, you do wonder what happens to. I mean, they're an international firm, aren't they?
They are. But one of the interesting things with all of this is that because it's a partnership, they're not governed by the corporations law.
No.
And so as a result of that, the normal standards that would apply to a director do not apply to the partners of these firms. Mm. And so that's what's happened with PwC. The partner there who actually leaked the information on from Treasury to some of his colleagues who then used it to, you know, advise their clients how not to pay tax, you know, nothing really happened to him. He was he was banned for being involved in as an advisor for 8 years or something like that.
Yeah, business behaving badly. And also there seemed to be, there were some, you know, crocodile tears and statutory feelings of sadness about the whistleblower, but the whistleblower was treated appallingly.
Well, not appallingly. I mean, the former chief executive stood there and said, yes, we made him feel uncomfortable, and I made him feel uncomfortable. That really fired up the committee, the senators in doing the interrogation. They just went off at that, and he had to rephrase the words. But they tried to get rid of him within 4 weeks of him actually, you know, coming up with this. He's had to go through, he said it's ruined his life.
Yeah.
He's had to go through, you know, Well, he's taken it to the firm. He's then taken it to the independent directors. He's taken it to the international side of the firm and gotten nowhere, really. Mm-hmm. And if he hadn't gone to Deborah O'Neill, this would still be in the dark.
Yeah, I know. This is the lesson here. They're not repentant. They're just worried that they got caught.
No, and the behaviour before that Senate committee indicated that they were prepared to do pretty much anything they could to ensure that they didn't tell the truth.
Mm. What should happen in circumstances like this? As you say, they're not subject to the corporate regulator. You know, is it just that, well, they suffer in the marketplace, do they?
Well, there's not really much of a penalty for doing any of this. I mean, their reputation's been hung out to dry, I guess. But can they survive? I mean, you know, cast your mind back to Arthur Andersen, you know, after the Enron collapse. Arthur Andersen did not survive that. And that was to do with audits, really. And this is another audits problem here. So this could really bring KPMG undone, at least in Australia.
Because part of the problem is with these big accounting firms is they're so enmeshed with large businesses, aren't they?
Yeah.
They, you know, they've been doing it for years. They know the businesses, they're enmeshed with the businesses, and businesses find it hard to take their custom elsewhere.
Well, Lendlease has had KPMG doing the audit for them for 60 or 70 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
Now, that is really highly unusual, and it's frowned upon these days because, you know, not only does the auditor become a little too comfortable with the, you know, corporation, the corporation can then strong arm the auditor and say, hey, listen, you know, we've done a few things this year. How about we just fix it up next year? Can you just alter the books a bit? So if you have a regular turnover of auditors and, you know, there's a rule that says you cannot have an audit contract that lasts more than 5 years, there's a distance between those two parties. So there's an independence of the audit firm and the corporation. I mean, to have a relationship stretching back that long it's unusual, but it shouldn't be allowed.
No, business is going bad. Now, speaking of businesses going bad, let's talk about WiseTech.
Yeah, so we've gone from money and now to sex. WiseTech.
This is a story straight out of Hollywood, this thing.
just when you thought it was all over. So, you know,
remind us who WiseTech is.
Well, a couple of, backtracking here. About 2 years ago, WiseTech, the founder is a fellow by the name of Richard White, and he came under scrutiny, not for anything that he did within the company, at least initially. He had a relationship with a woman, and she claimed that he promised her some kind of business arrangement or business help, and he didn't deliver on that, and then she sued him as a result of that. So this very messy personal situation was played out before the courts for a fairly paltry amount of money. It really amazed everybody that he didn't just, you know, say, look, here's the money and go away. Anyway, it played out in public. But what happened then was that various other women started to come forth and say, well, he did the same to me. And then it turned out that there were women within the company itself, within WiseTech, who'd had relationships with him and where he'd actually paid them off. And it wasn't clear whether or not he'd used company money or his own cash in this case. And so it got to a very messy point, obviously, and you had big shareholders here who were basically saying, you know, we're talking about the Future Fund and some of the big, you know, superannuation funds saying, we expect a certain standard of behaviour from the people who run the companies that, in which we invest, and this is really not up to scratch. He was removed from the company, but the problem is...
Share price fell.
Well, he's the far and away the biggest shareholder. Yeah. And so he basically had a fight, a standoff with the independent directors. The independent directors all quit, and he appointed himself back onto the board, and he's now the executive chairman. So this week what we have are allegations that the Australian Federal Police are investigating him over... you know, allegations that he's been involved in human trafficking, essentially. Mm. And the specifics are that there was a woman who worked with another company in which he's associated, and he used false information for a visa to get her to stay here so she didn't have to go back to Brazil, and in to basically take advantage of her and form a sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Now, as a result of that, the share price fell 18% on Monday, and another 2.5% yesterday.
Hmm.
We're talking about a massive drop in the share price here. And the really strange thing is that neither Richard White nor the company WiseTech came out on Monday and said anything about this. Now, on Tuesday, they came out about halfway through the day and said, "Oh, look, you know, haven't heard anything about it. We don't know anything about any federal police investigation here at all." But wouldn't you come out before trading began on Monday and put your foot on this?
Well, it's a material fact, isn't it?
Or threaten, you know, legal action against, the reports, but nothing. So it's really quite odd.
Yes. All right. Keep watch this space if you're an investor. Watch your money.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm supposed to. Ian, terrific to talk as always.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.